What is happening, crew? Welcome to another Next Generation. It is Wednesday, of course, and we have another competitive shooter with us. We're going to get to Ashton here in a minute and talk about all the cool things he's up to. For now, though, we're going to vamp, give a little time for notifications to come out and all that good stuff. Remind everybody, we are live on YouTube, as we are for Next Generation every Wednesday. And that was a text that I'm getting. Hang on just a minute. we're live, on YouTube every Wednesday at 8 Eastern. So we're also simulcast over on Gun Channels. And just for those that catch in replay or whatever, I will throw the link over on the YouTube side like I normally do. Not aware of Gun Channels, go check that out. A lot of cool stuff happening over there. A lot of cool people hang out over there. So definitely the place to be. Don't see a lot of people hanging out over that way. Looks like Mr. Rick is out that way on Gun Channels. He's got a show that runs before this one. So it's very possible he has not come in yet from that show. He hasn't come in from the outdoors. Not sure if notifications are going out or not going out or what the deal is, but get to our man, Mr. Pete, was first out there. He says, is anybody here? But the gun snob's out there. Well, I'm sure Witch White is out there. Kingpin is in the house. Hopefully some others will get in as time goes along. Hey, Trucker is out there too. He says that his work schedule matches this one. So that works great. So let me throw out a couple of other things. Dang it, I didn't get the link for the cap giveaway. Let me do that real quick. I'll go grab it. Before I grab the link for that, I will throw out the link to CloverTac.com. You're going to need that. I think most that I see here in the chat so far right now probably already signed up, but it doesn't hurt to let everybody know, because there may be somebody watching in replay. So go to CloverTac.com, scroll to the bottom, and you can sign up for the email list. Come the MOA Monday show on the 24th of September, we will we'll give away about three different caps, I think, is what we're going to do, looks like so far. Also, just a reminder, on the 26th, I believe it is, of September, is the anniversary for the first launch air pop here on the channel. So what we're going to do is we're going to, at some point during the day, I've got to kind of get it scheduled. We're gonna do a launch air pop. It won't be just a patron only thing. We're gonna do that public. So if you're looking for that, let's go to the panel here. We've been trying to get a hold of Mike, who, as you guys know, has set in and helped us out quite regularly on these Wednesday shows. Hopefully things are okay for him. Was having some issues contacting by email. We've tried text, so. I don't know, thoughts, with him just in case, because he was around all of that hurricane stuff. Guitar Man Pete out there says launch air pop is better than a desk pop. Just saying. Yes, it is. It's a whole lot more redneck. That's for sure. But, we got Ghost here. Ghost is going to help us out. What's happening, buddy?
Not much. Thanks for having me. And I got home from work not too long ago, and I am now the proud owner of a bright green CloverTac cap. So I'm very happy. Thank you for that, sir.
Sweet. You're very welcome. The green one has so far been the popular one. So, and I think it's probably the one that looks best, at least in my opinion.
It does look pretty sharp, I'm not going to lie.
So, just a quick note before we bring Ashton in here. Obviously we are open to questions both on the Gun Channel side, which I see that Dog Body has jumped in over there, as well as G-Webs. We are open to questions both on the Gun Channel side as well as here on the YouTube side. Now, on the Gun Channel side, not necessarily that important as far as tagging and all of that. You know, it's a little easier to regulate the traffic over there than what happens on the YouTube side. But remember, if you're on the Gun Channel side, you want to use the chat in the bottom right-hand corner. As far as the YouTube side, if you want to get questions in as we're going along here talking to Ashton, it's always best to tag either myself or Ghost. And if you're not familiar with that process, just type the @ CloverTac or @ Ghost Space Tactical, and that will of course get it done. Without further ado, let's bring Ashton in here and get this show on the road. How are you, Mr. Ashton?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
We are good. How old are you, sir? Let's start out with that.
Well, I'm 15 years old.
Okay. You're a big kid. Either that or the lady that's in the picture is a small lady. One of the two.
I think I'm a big kid, I'd say.
Right. I was looking at that because I didn't know how old you were, and I was like, I was trying to guess based on that picture. I thought, he's considerably taller than that. How tall are you?
Around 6 foot.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now I feel bad, and I know Ghost feels bad too, so... Yeah, we're definitely a couple of vertically challenged dudes for sure. Yeah. So when, as far as your foray into the whole firearms thing and you know, what ultimately I guess led into the competitions, do you remember the first time that, you know, you went out and did any shooting?
I do. I was 7 years old and I went to my grandparents' house or lodge in Oklahoma. And we went outside, and they had set up watermelons as, like, targets. And so I was shooting watermelons with a rifle. I think it was 223. And I was shooting them. I was nailing them so that I was considered the watermelon champion. So that's what really got me into shooting.
Weird question, but do they grow watermelons, or does somebody locally do it, or do they go buy watermelons to do that with?
My grandfather, he has a garden, and part of that garden was like watermelons. Oh, okay. So all the like gross ones that they didn't really want to eat, right. They just give to me, and they'd set them up for me, there, and I'd shoot them. So
yeah, they make great targets. I agree. Cantaloupe, same way. Yes. Tomatoes. We live down here. I do anyway, and what's considered the tomato capital, basically, of the country, and those, you know, tomatoes that have the bad spots and that sort of stuff. They make really good targets too sometimes.
Interesting.
Just it's nice, you know, reactive targets. That's always fun.
Right.
You know, when you can shoot something and see things splatter or move or explode or whatever, always makes it a little more fun than just the bullseye type, you know, precision shooting on paper, right? How tight can you get those groups? So to
speak? Yes.
There is a fun element to it, certainly. About how old were you, do you think?
When I was shooting watermelons? Mm-hmm. Around 7, 8 years old.
Oh, wow. Okay. So fairly young. That seems to be about the average for most kiddos out there. Right. I know that's usually when somebody asks me, hey, when do we get our kiddos into shooting, you know, rifles, pistols, stuff like that, you know, away from the BB gun.
I feel like that's like the age, like the parents are like, all right, they're ready to start learning to shoot firearms. They've shot this BB gun forever. Cause I used to shoot the BB gun at like extra cardboard boxes we had. And my dad's like, it's time you started shooting real guns, son.
Right. Yeah. Once you demonstrate, and it's a maturity thing. I mean, it really is.
Right.
I mean, as parents, you see that and you think, okay, well, you know, they're really safe with the BB gun. They're not running around the neighborhood shooting out people's windows and pegging the neighbor's cat and, you know, things like that. So, if you show that responsibility, then I think it comes quicker for some kiddos, I think, than others, that the parents trust them and do that. Now, have you or do you do any hunting of any kind?
Well, we have my grandfather's brother owns, works for a logging company. Mm-hmm. And on their land, they let us hunt on it. So we go up there every now and then, or during deer season. My dad hunts a lot. I hunt not as often as him, but I'll hunt it sometimes. And so, yeah, I do a little hunting, not very much though.
Okay, mainly deer then?
Yes, mainly deer.
Okay, awesome. Now, were you doing that before you got into the competition shooting?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Great. Ghost, anything you want to jump in with real quick?
Are you on? If I could unmute myself, my bad. So you started out with the competition. How long have you been shooting competition, and what organizations are you? IDPA, USPSA, which ones do you shoot?
I started shooting competition around age 11 because that's kind of when my parents started an IDPA club near us. Wow. And I used to shoot SASP, but we kind of transitioned from SASP to mainly just IDPA now.
Okay, so they actually started the club there.
Yes.
Do they shoot as well?
Yes, both of my parents shoot as well, and it's a constant competition between all of us.
I'm sure it is. Who's better?
So far, it's me.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that'll work. Probably got to worry about mom more than dad, I would say, usually. That seems to be the case for some reason.
Yeah.
So you said you started out with, what did you say? You started out with SASP, you said?
Yes. So
some of that stuff first.
Yeah.
So,
good.
That was when you were about 11. Did you start out with SASP, or there was 11 when you got into the IDPA stuff?
It was 11 when I kind of started both around the same time, but it was mainly just SASP. And then over the years, I kind of went from a lot of SASP to kind of both, and then I've now only IDPA.
Okay. Gotcha. So What made you kind of dedicate and kind of move over to just the IDPA? Was it the simple fact that, you know, you had easy access to that club, or was there something about that type of match that was more appealing?
I just really love the environment of IDPA and like the skill and the shooting type thing you have to do in IDPA. And with SASP, it kind of just, I'm not really just a stationary shoot steel targets. I'm more of like move, shoot around walls, shoot around barrels, shoot under barrels, stuff like that.
Okay, I gotcha. You like the whole run and gun aspect, so to speak. Okay, very awesome. Now, as far as that club, you want to give a shout out to that? You want to plug that?
Right. It's in North Texas Practical Shooters at Jacobs Plain Gun Club.
Okay, there you go for anybody out there. So as far as gear and stuff that you use for IDPA, you know, what type of, I guess, what classes do you shoot? Multiple classes, first of all, and then, you know, we'll get into the gear from there, I guess.
Right now I'm just shooting ESP, and I recently made ESP Master, so we're thinking in the next year to transition over to CCP and change from a STI 2011 Hawk, which is what I'm running right now, to a Wilson Combat. So.
Okay. Gotcha. And Ghost, did you understand that?
I do understand that. Yeah, I shoot IDPA as well. So, yeah.
Okay.
I shoot CCP, which is concealed, let's see here, compact carry pistol division. And it's basically, they call it the Glock 19 division. Each individual division has certain requirements, which you can and can't use for your guns, whether it's size or modifications. The CCP is going to fit inside like a little, they have little boxes, kind of like cigar boxes, if you will. And your gun has to fit in that. Well, the box for CCP is literally fits perfectly for a Glock 19. So the Glock 19 is, as they kind of call the Glock 19 division.
And then what was the other division, Ashton?
I shoot ESP, which is Enhanced Service Pistol. So they have SASP, which is just stock. So it's stock everything on the gun. Mm-hmm. And then once you make one modification to the gun, it moves you up to ESP. So it's kind of like a decked out gun division.
Yeah, almost like an open division.
Almost, yeah.
Okay. What type of modifications did you make?
Right now on my 2011, I've just changed out like a few, like a recoil spring. I've messed with the magazine release. I've changed the grips on them. So really, that's all I've done right now. My old gun, I like stippled it. I changed out pretty much all the components in the gun to make it work better for me. But I like this new gun I have right now better.
Right. Yeah. And that's the STI, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see that. Definitely. Now, as far as the different matches that you've been to, I know that the picture is Colorado, I think. But how far have you traveled for some of the matches you've been to?
Recently, we just traveled over 10 hours to Talladega to shoot the Nationals, IDPA Nationals competition. And that's pretty much so far the farthest I've traveled for an IDPA match.
Okay.
But we travel around like Arkansas, Oklahoma. We've been to Louisiana, Mississippi, places like that.
Where in Arkansas did you shoot? Because that's where I am, and we've probably shot the same matches. Do you remember?
We shot the CASA matches.
CASA, okay, yeah.
We shoot in Benton, the Battle in Benton matches when they were still running.
Sure.
I shot at MVSA.
Yeah, that's where I do most of mine. As far as when I do like local matches, I shoot most of my MVSA. Did you go to Tulsa last summer?
I think, yes, I believe we did.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah. So. It was a big crowd, so.
Yes, sir.
All right, just going through here. Guitar Man Pete, I think he's got the same question pretty much for all the boys that come on the show. He said, guns, girls, and cars in which order, Ashton?
Guns, cars, girls, I guess.
There you go. I think he needs to throw school in there somewhere, I would think. I would be thinking anyway.
Right.
At least mom and dad might be thinking that.
All right. That's got to come into play somewhere, you would think, anyway. Speaking of you said you were 15. Are you doing driver's ed and stuff like that yet?
I recently just got my learner's permit, so my dad has been taking me to drive to get my hours and everything.
Oh, okay. Very awesome. And do you have a vehicle in mind or one waiting on you when you get that license? Or?
I have a 2003 Mustang convertible waiting on me.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. I'm glad I don't pay that insurance bill, but okay.
I've heard.
Man alive. It's the 03, so that's still square body on the 03.
Yes.
So, 5.0 or just six-cylinder or?
Six-cylinder.
Okay. Good enough. I'm a big Mustang guy. I use the excuse for owning Mustangs of, you know, having my wife drive Mustangs, right? So that way I don't actually, you know, I don't say necessarily that I own a Mustang, but yeah, we've had her and Mustangs for years. They're great cars. So
yes.
Now is that one fixed up? Is that one a fixer upper that you've done, or just something that you picked up used, or how'd that come about getting that hands on that Mustang?
So it's my mom's friend's daughter's old car. So okay. that seems like a lot to, but it's right. it's a fixer upper. There's just a few things that need to be fixed on it, like brakes. It's kind of beat down after sitting outside for six years.
Yeah. If you set one up for very long, yeah, there's all kinds of little things you always have to do. So
yes.
Wow, cool, very cool. Yeah, your mom's. What'd you say it was again? Give us that one more time.
My mom's friend's daughter's old car.
Okay. Sounds kind of like an Arkansas family tree there, doesn't it?
Yes.
Your mom's daughter's something's. Yeah. now keep
it out. I resemble that comment.
Yeah. Kingpin out there. I guess because we're talking about the Mustang there. He says, don't speed. He says, court costs lots of money.
My mom has told me that so many times already.
And the V6 will do it. We've never owned a 5.0, but I'm going to tell you what, you can even tweak out the six cylinders quite a bit, and they'll get you a ticket if you're not careful, for sure.
I owned a 1995 5.0 GT convertible one for a while, and yeah, that will get you in trouble.
Right.
Man. Okay.
All right. Well, Kingpin out there, he's got a question for you, Ashton. Getting back on the going back to the hunting thing just there for a second. He said on the hunting, do y'all eat, or y'all eat what you take, or do y'all just do the trophy hunting?
Absolutely. My family really believes that if you take somethings, you have to eat that meat. So like, we use pretty much everything we can get from that deer. We use it to eat. So.
Awesome. So with the, let me grab a question, because G-Web's had a good one out there on the Gun Channel side that we definitely want to hit on. We usually do. But we'll lay some groundwork on it for it right quick. Back to your matches and stuff for a little bit. I'm guessing that Talladega, was that the biggest one that you've been in so far?
Yes, that's like the almost like the highest you can get in IDPA besides when they come out with the Worlds.
Right. And was that the first time you've been to that one?
It was. It was the first time I've ever been to the IDPA Nationals, and it was like, it was awesome. It was a big experience for me, and it was literally lived above and beyond everything I expected to be.
Any idea how many competitors there are in that match?
I think there was, after a few DQs, I think there was around 360-ish.
Ah, okay. Okay. Speaking of DQs, you ever been DQ'd?
Not in a sanctioned match, knock on wood, but I have been DQ'd at a local match when I was younger. I was still kind of confused on the rules, and there's a set of targets that we passed, and I kind of like backtracked and broke the 180 to try to shoot those targets again.
Oh,
and I was like, I was That'll so sad. I was only like maybe just turned 11, so you could shoot local matches back then. Right. And I was like bawling. I was like, oh my gosh, I just DQ'd. That's so bad. And so.
Have you ever had one, Ghost?
I have not been DQ'd, but I have been four times in a squad where there has been someone DQ'd, and three of the four were for breaking the 180.
Yeah. Just wondering how often that happens.
In my experience, I mean, I've shot local, I've shot regional, I've shot, you know, all sorts, all over. The big shoots, you know, you'll go through and you'll see DQs, but you don't know if it was actually a DQ or they just didn't show up. It's a lot easier to kind of know what's happening at local matches or state matches even. And, you'll have one or two. And now, a lot of time, it's not, you know, a blatant disregard for the rules. It's just there are some hard, fast rules that break in a 180 or, you know, something. We had a guy that honestly loaded his gun before he stepped up, and it's supposed to be a cold range, and the, you know, safety officer is going to tell you to load and make ready and all that. Guy didn't even think about it, just walked up the loaded gun to the, and it was his turn, and they told him to go. So, I mean, he wasn't trying to do anything dangerous. He wasn't trying to do anything blatant, but I mean, most of the time it's 180 stuff, because that's pretty much, you see a 180, it doesn't matter what the reason why, you're gone. And that's just, right. That's what most of them are.
Okay. Yeah. I figured that they probably were. Now on, back on the equipment a little bit, Kingpin, I think it was Kingpin out there. Let me double check. Yeah, it was. He says, talking about dream pistol and or dream rifle, money's no object. You know, they say, hey, go pick out whatever rifle or whatever pistol that you want. What, What would that be? What would those be?
Man, that is hard.
Anything particular, or maybe anything particular you have your eyes on right now?
Well, right now I'm really looking at getting like a, what are they called? Ruger 6.5 Creedmoor.
Ooh,
but
okay.
Like really like decked out, like having a nice scope, a suppressor, a good stock on it, a different barrel. And that's kind of my dream rifle.
Mm-hmm.
And then my dream pistol would probably be a Wilson Combat, probably a CQB Elite.
Okay, very cool. Now that's a heck of a rifle, and that sparks another question. Have you done any like long range, not necessarily competitive, but have you done any long range shooting before?
Yes, part of that Jacob's Plain Gun Club. My dad manages it, mm-hmm. and it has a long range area that goes out to 1,100 yards.
Ooh, nice.
So a lot of times we'll go out there and just shoot for fun. And I've actually shot a PRS local club match there, mm-hmm. and it's just a lot of it's cool to do. And so that's why I'd get like a rifle like that to start doing more things like that.
Very cool. And that, does it seem like that's the caliber of choice right now for PRS?
I've heard 6.5 Creedmoor, 6.5 Grendels, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be kind of the caliber of choice.
Yeah. Just curious what, it seems to be a really popular caliber for a lot of different things. And, PRS seems to be one of them. We've got Connie out there is asking about do you have a job? Do you have a job?
I have a job currently. I work at a barbecue restaurant near me.
Oh, nice.
So, okay. You know, good old Texas barbecue.
Okay. We want to give a plug for the barbecue joint. What's the name of the barbecue joint?
Baker's Ribs.
Baker's Ribs. Ooh, and ribs. And yes. is it good ribs? Because ribs is like one of my things.
They are.
I smoke some really awesome ribs. So
I think they're good. I mean, I guess that could be biased. I don't really think it is, but they're St. Louis style and they have a dry rub on them and they're amazing.
That sounds good.
Yes.
Yeah, I like more of I do like a combo on mine. I do make my own dry rub when I do mine, but then I'll finish off with a real light glaze of sauce. I don't know about the last maybe hour, you know?
Right.
Now what do you do there? Do you actually do the barbecuing or?
Just depending on what we're doing that day. If I'm closing, yeah. I'll usually do I'll serve people and then usually about 2 hours before we close, I'll go and do dishes.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay.
And then, but if I'm just working there for which is my usual shift, which is 12 to 5 or 12 to 6, I will serve front. And then if no one else is there to do the barbecue, I'll put the dry rub on and throw them in the smoker.
Right. Snob out there. He says, we need to stop talking about all the food. We're making you hungry. yeah. So you're kind of a jack of all trades there.
Right.
It sounds like. So I don't know if you can answer this one, but we've got, oh heck, I lost it. Here we go. Got it now. Jonathan out there, he's saying, what happens in, this is I guess a procedural thing for IDPA. He says, what happens in the case of a hang fire or a squib if you're in a competition?
What they'll usually do is if you have a squib and you can't clear it, you can't do anything, the SO will tell you stop. And then you'll unload, you'll take your SO will follow you to the safe area, you'll clear your gun and stuff. And then the rest of the targets that you did not engage, you'll actually get 10 points down or 15 points down, depending on how many shots you needed.
Okay.
So it really hurts you. That's like the worst thing in IDPA is either getting DQ'd or getting a squib and it costing you a lot of points down.
Right. Pink out there on the gun channel side. I think he's getting a little envious. He said he's living the dream. He gets to shoot great guns, drive great cars, and eat all the barbecue. So
yes,
there you go. Maybe we need to change up what Pete said earlier when he said guns. What did he say? Guns, girls, and cars. Maybe we need to add. We got to add school in there, and now we got to add barbecue apparently to that as well.
Right.
So, are you a big barbecue eating person working in a place like that? Sometimes people are like, well, I'm around it so much that I'm sick of it, but I don't know that I could ever get sick of barbecue. Not good barbecue, anyway.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. I actually get in trouble because I buy my dinner there all the time. I just love the barbecue there.
He said he's got a sign. He's standing out there. He says, we'll work for barbecue. And they picked him up and took him to the restaurant. That's what they did.
How's the brisket there?
It's good. We get our brisket from a farm, obviously. And when we get it, we actually do dry rub also, but it's a different type of dry rub. And after we smoke it, the guy on the chop block will put barbecue sauce, mix it kind of together, and then chop it up real well. And it's like almost, it has like the perfect blend of barbecue, brisket, and the bun, obviously.
Wow.
Nice. I'm a brisket guy. I grew up in Dallas, so I'm very much a brisket guy.
Yeah, it's definitely barbecue, just about any form, is a big Texas thing. It's weird. It's split between barbecue and Mexican food, right?
Yes.
Pretty much, yeah. Those are the two major food groups.
Yeah.
Barbecue. Actually, the third was Whataburger. Whataburger also is a food
group. Well, yeah, you got Whataburger. Yeah. If you could have a Whataburger with chopped beef and an enchilada on the side, that's heaven.
Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't eat that before a marathon, that's for sure.
Now, as far as your with IDPA and the prep and stuff like that for your matches, because you mentioned that what you eat before the matches, I know with, and especially with certain kids that we're dealing with, of course, we're more on, we've always done stuff more on the precision side of things, and it really makes a difference if you're hyped up on sugar and chocolate and whatever it might be. But are you mindful of what you eat before matches and stuff like that, or drink?
I used to be. My parents would always tell me, don't eat heavy before the match. You're going to feel it way down. But the last two match bumps that I've gotten at IDPA, I always eat like Olive Garden or like a steakhouse someplace. And I feel like that's like my lucky charm now, is eating at an Olive Garden or steakhouse and getting sweet tea to drink. I kind of follow the routine.
Okay. And what's your dish at Olive Garden? We keep coming back to the food thing. We got to get off of that.
All right.
What's your go-to there?
Chicken Alfredo.
Oh, yeah. Right on. I'm on board with that. Definitely. All right, let me pull up some stuff. Let's move on. Let's try to get away from the food a little bit. So as far as school, are you public school, private school, homeschool?
I got a public school.
Okay. And what about grades? You do fairly well, or do you have to be able to compete with the? I know some of the kids do. So
I do. I mean, I'm usually high. I'm in the low 90s, around there. And my parents always tell me that if I'm like failing a class, or if I don't get my work turned in from that I had to make up from matches, that they can always take this privilege away, because it is a privilege. It's not a right or anything.
There you go. Good job, Mom and Dad. So, I know that probably doesn't seem fair sometimes. You're a teenager. I'm sure you argue. No, don't do that, please.
My dad can definitely agree with that.
You don't understand. She doesn't treat anybody else this way. It's her fault. Yeah. Now, as far as subjects in the school, do you have a favorite? Other than, like, a lot of kids will say PE or something. I'm talking about academic subjects. Do you have a favorite? Or maybe shop, or, you know, do anything like that?
I'm in Principles of Ag right now, because I didn't take the class my freshman year, or I would be taking metalworking right now.
Oh, okay.
But probably my favorite subject would be the science area of things. So, like, right now I'm in chemistry, and I love chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of ties with, like, geometry. I like doing mathematics and stuff.
Right. Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, that plays into, you know, you talk about the metalworking. So that's something you want to do. You want to, sounds like, get into the welding and the other stuff.
I want to be a weapons engineer, so like designing firearms, building okay. firearms, yeah. stuff like that.
You better have some math. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It, I don't think you, I don't think you can just wing your measurements and do stuff like that. That's not going to work. So math is definitely a good thing for there. What about other sports outside of shooting sports?
I used to play baseball, but since the season's kind of conflicted, my coach came up to me and said, I'm probably going to have to choose between baseball or shooting. Ooh. And I mean, obviously I chose shooting because shooting is amazing. Well,
that sucks that you had to be approached like that. I had to make a choice. I kind of hate that, but
yeah,
you know, yeah. At the end of the day, now did you play on the high school team or you?
Well, my school is so small that uh-huh. you have the high school team or you're not on any team pretty much.
Okay.
I played on the high school team.
Gotcha. So it's not, yeah. How many kids are in the school? Do you know?
In our high school, it's around 220, 210
okay.
kids.
Okay. Total. That's a little bit, maybe a little bit more than the school here. Probably not a whole lot. So yeah, that's definitely a smaller school. Wow. Okay. Very interesting. Now, as far as, as far as going on to, moving up in the world, is there other shooting sports? Is there other matches and stuff like that? That I know you were talking about potentially changing classes, doing some other things like that with IDPA. And you were talking about PRS a little bit. Is there any other ones out there that maybe deviate, maybe shotgunning or archery stuff, or is there anything else that you've dabbled in, you're interested in, you have thought about doing?
USPSA is a major one that's I'm probably going to start doing mm-hmm. or competing in. And right. I've not shot a USPSA match yet. I'm going to be shooting one in upcoming months. But I have shot a USPSA stage for practice one day since it kind of was an IDPA USPSA practice day. So.
Okay. Awesome. Now we got some questions out there about, let's stay on this route just a little bit, cause we're kind of talking about the future and school and all is, I'm guessing you're looking at, you're looking at engineering stuff from the sound of what you're saying. So, I mean, sounds like you've got your eye on college later on, probably, right?
Yes.
Is shooting for a college team something that, you're looking into potentially?
Absolutely. When I used to shoot SASP, I would watch the Texas A&M pistol team mm-hmm. a lot. And that was one of my major goals in life, along with a few others, is to shoot for the Texas A&M pistol team. And that's kind of what I'm aiming for as a college shooting sports-wise.
Okay, gotcha. And are you looking at A&M for that, or are you eyeballing some other places as well?
I'm really just mainly focusing on Texas A&M.
Okay, gotcha. Nothing wrong with that. I don't suppose there's probably gonna be some UT hate out there somewhere, I'm sure. But that's okay.
Yeah, I'm a Longhorn, so hook 'em horns.
Yeah. let's see, what do we got here? Now on to getting back to, the IDPA and actual matches and stuff like that. There's some questions out there. Live Round Snatcher is asking, have you ever shot Bug or PCC at all?
I haven't shot Bug, but I have shot PCC in a side match of IDPA.
Mm-hmm.
And I borrowed a friend's Scorpion to shoot. Nice. And it was fun, but I mean, it's just kind of hard to do PCC and ESP, so you kind of had to choose between do you want to shoot the PCC or do you want to shoot the pistols?
Gotcha.
And so I made the pistol decision to shoot.
Gotcha. Now, as far as the practice schedule goes, I know you talked about having to basically choose between baseball and this. So, I mean, it takes up a lot of time, obviously. What type of practice training regimen do you have as far as your IDPA? How many hours a week? How many rounds a week? That sort of thing.
I try to go to the range once or twice a week, and I used to not live fire, and I know a lot of people will be like, well, why didn't you live fire? Well, I don't know why I didn't live fire, but when nationals came up, I felt like it was really a major thing that I had to do, or I wasn't going to shoot as well as I wanted to at nationals. And I got to say, it really did help to shoot it or to dry fire. So.
Gotcha. Ghost, you want to jump in here for a second?
There's a couple questions out there. One of them would be, if you turn professional, that what would be your dream sponsor?
Wilson Combat. I shot with them, or I saw them at my first match, and I was like, man, that is so cool. I want to shoot with them one day as a professional shooting team. And I shot with them at an Arkansas match, and it's just, they're such a family, and they're wise, so they can tell you a lot of things with IDPA. And so that would be my dream sponsor.
Yeah, the founder of Wilson Combat was one of the founders of IDPA as well.
Yes.
A lot of people don't realize that IDPA was founded in Arkansas, so yeah.
That's where the headquarters is right now, isn't it?
That's correct. It was about 45 minutes from me.
Very cool. Now, as far as the sponsors go, do you have any currently, or is it mom and dad and barbecue funded?
It's mostly just my mom and dad. They pay for pretty much everything. But I do have a sponsor, Stick This On. He gives me like free merchandise, like patches, T-shirts, stickers, stuff like that.
Oh, cool. Okay. So you got all kinds of cool swag to dress up with, basically.
Yes.
Which is, yeah. Got to look the part. Nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
Not at all. What else do we have out here in the chat? Because G-Web's had one, but I want to make sure we don't have anything pertaining to actual competition right
now. Well, someone was asking what kind of grips are you using on your pistol right now?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm using, I don't exactly know. I think it's an STI type grip, but they're just a little different. It's almost stock. They just have, they're a little slimmer for me because I don't like having a big wide grip on my gun and like not being able to reach the slide release or anything like that. So.
So G-Webs had a question, because you were, talking about designing. Well, actually, he and Kingpin both had some questions, so I'll ask both of these. But he said, looking at becoming an engineer in the industry, do you have any type of prototypes and different things? Are you already making drawings or writing down ideas of improvements or different designs and things like that?
I have a notebook that's kind of like a prototype funny idea type thing for firearms. Mm-hmm. And so like when I'm just bored, I'll just like go and like draw like rifles that would, since there's all these memes about the Space Force now, I've drawn like space weapons and just different types of firearms.
Okay. Very cool. And G-Web's out there is asking, do you have a favorite firearms inventor?
Not really.
Designer or inventor?
Yeah. Not really. It's kind of just, I just like firearms engineering in general. There's no really favorite inventor or anything.
Right. Gotcha. Well, I don't know. With the 1911, could be Browning, I guess.
Yeah, those are popular.
For sure. Right, for sure. Now, with Let's see, what have we not jumped off into yet here? By the way, keep the questions coming, because we'll ask them as long as we've got them out there to ask. But Pete says Browning and Stoner is what Guitar Man Pete says. So yeah, that's definitely two good ones, especially if you're talking about competition for sure. You're kind of kicking it back into. You know, just regular everyday life for a minute. Do you have friends that you hang out with that you've brought into the sport at all? As you've gone along, because you've been doing it for years now. So,
I brought a few people into SASP while we still shot it, but it just seems like people don't really get into the competitive shooting right now. They're always focused on other things at school or other things in life.
Gotcha.
So
they came along, but it was more for the fun,
right?
You know, aspect of it than really to get serious about it like you have. Which you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's not a total loss, I don't guess. Everybody kind of has to prioritize, I guess, what they're doing, and at least you played a part in exposing them to what's out there and what's going on. So I think that definitely can be a good thing.
Yes.
Ghost, you got anything?
Sorry about that. I was looking at the chat. No, I just, you know, it's fun to hear kids talk about IDPA because I chose IDPA because I love the techniques that you can apply into real life. And yes, it's fun. Yes, it's a competition, but IDPA really gives you real world scenarios that you have to learn to shoot from behind cover and this, that, and the other. And what I really like about it is depending upon which division you're in and what gun you're using, you have ammo restrictions on how much you can load per magazine. So, I mean, even if you carry a 17 round magazine, you might only be able to load it to 12. And so you learn how to do really quickly. You have to learn reloading and, you know, I wanted to ask you this is, what is the reason that you chose IDPA? Was it because of the defensive pistol side of things, or is it just more fun, or what?
I chose IDPA because of it was mainly, we built the club for my mom because when she originally didn't have her concealed carry license back when it was considered concealed carry. And, my dad said, well, you're not going to carry unless you really know how to use the firearm and can use it proficiently. And so he started the club, and I'm like, well, this is fun. This is like, it's really, it could prepare me for the real world whenever I might need it or if I ever needed an emergency. And then, so it's kind of the defensive thing and the fun thing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can see that for sure. With the competitions you've been to and stuff like that, any particular wins that you've had that you were proud of? Accomplishments, I should say. Let's not necessarily go with wins, but, you know, accomplishments.
I was bumped to expert after being a sharpshooter for a few months. And about 2 months after being bumped to expert, I was bumped to master. And I feel like that was the major thing in my life was being an IDPA master before I wasn't a junior anymore.
Okay, gotcha. And as far as the trophy room and all that, how's all that looking?
I'm actually looking at it right now. we have all my trophies set up in the office. Okay. So there's a few that aren't hung up yet, but I've pretty much claimed a wall in the office for just my trophies.
Very nice. Very nice. Now on that, as far as, you know, one thing that, you know, I know you said you've listened to some before, and one of the things I try to touch on, because, you know, no matter how good somebody is, I mean, it seems like everybody always has that one match that sticks out that's a bad day for whatever reason. Could be attitude, could be equipment. Anything stick out in your mind as to a match you shot and just nothing went right, whatever it was?
Well, I had one stage and at the NBSA prevention match, and you were in handcuffs, and I was shooting the targets. My gun, it didn't go chamber all the way, and so it was kind of hard to rack the gun with handcuffs on. So I was freaking out. My hands were shaking. I'm trying to rack the gun. It finally works, and I'm thinking I've lost all this time when really I just lost about 10 seconds. I mean, that's a lot, but I was thinking I'd lost like 20, 30 seconds. So I blow through all the targets, and after blowing through all the targets, having that mental breakdown, I ended up costing myself 15 more seconds when I could have just not cost myself anything and just taken 3 more seconds to finish off the stage.
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes the clock can be a fickle mistress like that,
Right.
I think. Yeah.
It's a lot of mental in this sport.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, there's several things that I'm doing steel challenge now, and then there's several things with that having to do with your penalties and other stuff that, you know, sometimes it's better just to take them than it is to,
Yes.
yeah.
Yeah, I'll always remember this also, and I do a lot of practicing and training with other people and beginners and all that. And I always tell them, you know, the reason why there's a clock and a timer is not for the competition. It turned into be a competition, but the reason why there's a timer is they want to simulate someone's heart rate. And instinctively and naturally, if there's a timer being put on, you put pressure on yourself, your heart rate increases. And a lot of people don't realize if you're training for competition, you want to train with a timer because shooting with a constant heart rate versus an escalated heart rate changes your mechanics. So if you are going to try to get into competition, make sure you train with a timer also so your mind and body get used to that accelerated heart rate.
That's what one of my mentors was telling me. He's like, when you practice, consider every stage the last stage, and you need to do this. You need to win this stage, or it's going to cost you the match. So that puts that
That's
extra
right.
level of stress on you to kind of prepare you for the stress you might encounter in future matches.
Absolutely. That's exactly the right point.
Now, is that something that you would want to, you wouldn't necessarily want to push that on a beginner though, right?
No.
Wouldn't the, I would think you'd want the beginner to, you know, once somebody has the fundamentals down and they work their way through it, at that point, that's
Right.
just another way to up your game,
Yeah,
so to speak.
that's what I was kind of talking about for like me. I kind of want to build this pressure up during my training, so if I'm actually feeling pressure in the match, I can not be so afraid of and naturally kind of deal with it.
Right. Now, Kevin out there was talking about mentioning nationals again, and asked, what's your biggest takeaway that you brought home from nationals? What, any lessons learned and things you need to work on or that sort of thing?
Have fun and not be so worried about winning and more focused on the experience. And if you're just not that you're having fun, just kind of focus on that. Don't really worry about like, oh, I'm 3 seconds behind this guy. I need to step up my game. Kind of just focus on the kind of enjoying the experience and not necessarily not applying yourself, but applying yourself while having fun.
Gotcha. Right. And yeah, with you talked to quite a bit. You talked about the, you know, when you were younger having the DQ, and of course we talked about, you know, the age at which kids, you know, typically get into firearms and that sort of thing. Are you around any younger kids that you help with? Maybe not on an IDPA level, but with shooting fundamentals and stuff like that in general.
Kind of. When I was in SASB, I used to try to kind of help or try to help the kids, but I mean, I really wasn't in the coaching type thing. I was still working on my game, and I wasn't really a professional, so I kind of left that to coaches, and so.
Right. Now Texas 2A out there, he's asking, and I'm gonna read this question, and I'm gonna rephrase it a little bit because I think you've hit on some of this already. But he says, as you get older, do you see yourself getting more involved with the sport, other than shooting, SOMD, So assuming that you go forward, and let's say that for whatever reason that, you know, you go to school and you don't make the shooting team or, you know, something like that was happened. Obviously it sounds like the engineering education to you is a really important goal that you have. Are you still going to be active at that point? Will you still shoot as many matches as you can while still trying to go to school and that sort of thing?
Absolutely. This is one of my favorite. It is one of my favorite things that I've ever done in my life. And so I plan on keeping this up throughout college and throughout my career.
Right. And that's the cool thing about shooting sports is that you can do that. You can be 60 right. years old and 70 years old. And I've seen it, and I'm sure you probably have too. I'm sure you've seen some older people out there in some of these matches. So, yeah, as long as you're healthy and able to get out and move around, it's something that you can definitely enjoy for a lifetime for sure. Ghost, you want to jump in here with anything? Is there anything you've got?
No, it's been a good discussion. I've really enjoyed listening to him talk. And like I said, having an IDPA background as well, it's kind of been fun for me to get a young person's perspective on their outlook on IDPA versus mine, you know. So it's been great.
Yeah, definitely. So, with that, we're about 3 minutes out, looks like. So that's probably enough time to get things kind of closed out here. So let me do a couple things. Let me grab the link to cloverdeck.com. Let me drop that in the chats on both sides, the YouTube and the gun channels as well. And remind everybody, if you go over there, scroll down to the bottom, sign up for the email list, then that will enter you into the great cap drawing. And we're going to announce the three winners for that during MOA Monday. On the 24th, this coming Monday. So, the 24th, we'll announce the three winners. We're going to give away a CloverTac cap. That's the grand prize, so to speak. Then we'll give away a 38 special cap and a protected by the Second Amendment, I believe it is, because just off the top of my head, I'm trying to think of these cap. And both of those were donated by a viewer, supporter, follower out there. Unknown user. So thanks to him for kind of adding some caps to give away to that little prize package. Ghost, before we get out of here, do you have anything to push or plug?
No, none at all. Just continue to support this show. And I love this show. I love what you're doing with the youth. And continue to watch the stuff, guys, and support the channel again.
Awesome. Appreciate it very much. Well, Ashton, certainly appreciate you being on. Hopefully, I've got a plan in the future anyway of maybe putting together some panel shows to where we maybe bring on several youth from several different areas of competition, maybe some boys and some girls, maybe two or three on a mixed panel. And then, I don't know, talk about things that kids deal with today and, not get real heavy with the subjects, of course, but there's a lot of things with, you mentioned it earlier with just being able to relax and have fun when you go to these matches and how your schedules get hectic and how you have to choose between one thing or another, depending on what you like. There's just all kinds of things sometimes that you obviously have to deal with. So, keeps in mind, and if you're willing to do that, and if you know anybody else out there, a youth that competes, then definitely let them know. Let them know we're interested with talking with them as well.
Absolutely.
So, do you have anything else to say? What is the? Go ahead and we can plug that range, that club again if you want.
Jacob's Plain Gun Club in the Battlefield.
And then the barbecue joint. Got to plug the barbecue joint before we leave.
Baker's Ribs.
Baker's Ribs. So, is that it? Or you have anything else that you need to throw out there before we get?
I think that's it. Thank you for having me.
You bet. It has been a pleasure. So, with that, folks, we are going to get out of here. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. You're halfway through the week. So, almost there. Keep the faith, and the weekend will be here before you know it. We'll catch you tomorrow on the Nerd Chat After Hours, and then Friday, we've got Firearm Friday. We've got Medieval Industries going to be in the house talking with us, so maybe join us for either one of those or both. That is it for tonight. We gone. Bye.